Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning and welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. My two guests this morning are Valerie Mamone-Werder, and Valerie's with the Business Recruitment Manager for the Downtown Sacramento Partnership, and I'll have her on the show shortly. And my second guest is Del Richards, and Del's with Del Richards Publicity, and she specializes in doing PR. So my conversation with Del will be about PR. Welcome to Say On to the show this morning. Hope you enjoy the two guests I've got. If you have an interest to download and listen to this show, it's available from my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. And there's a black ribbon across the top and it says Media. Click on the Media tab and there's a tab there that says 105.5 FM, and you're welcome to download the show and listen to it at your leisure. So that's available if that's of interest to you. So what's this show about? This show is for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information and ready to take action. And that's one of the things with my first guest. Valerie's got an interesting project for the Downtown Sacramento Partnership, and we'll get some more information in business. But they're actually doing a project called Dreamers of Sacramento, so we'll get some more information. So the topics we cover are legal issues, tax issues, finance, accounting, as well as sales and marketing. Or as I say, this show is where Wall Street meets Main Street. My name is Andrew Rogerson. I'm a certified business broker, and I'm certified through the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm also certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books: Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, Successfully Start Your Business, and When You've Made Your Money, You Need to Get Out, and you need a book for that, and it's called Successfully Sell Your Business. If you'd like more information about buying a business, selling a business, or buying a franchise, please visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com, or simply give me a call. My number's 916-570-2674. Again, 916-570-2674. Each week, I'd like to mention a few things that are happening in the community, and we've got a couple of things that are happening. One's happening tomorrow. A guest on my show at the beginning of April was Karen Rice, and Karen's with a company called Constant Contact. Each month I do a monthly newsletter, and I send it out through Constant Contact, and Karen Rice is the regional director with Constant Contact. And tomorrow they've got a seminar they're presenting tomorrow morning in West Sacramento. The program starts at 8:30, and you're welcome to get there. They've got information about how to use Constant Contact in marketing. So one of the topics they'll be talking about is marketing. And they'll also have some people there talking about finance. So if you're in the market to borrow some money for your business and you've got some questions, you're welcome to visit tomorrow. So it's in West Sacramento. It's at the City Hall Galleria, which is on 110 West Capitol Avenue. So starts at 8:30 a.m. They've got coffee and pastry when you arrive. So 8:30, finishes about 12 noon. It's free, so absolutely no cost. So if you want more information, please go to Karen's website, www.constantcontact.com, and then / Karen, K-A-R-E-N hyphen Rice, R-I-C-E, and you'll see Karen's calendar. It'll give you all the details for the event tomorrow. So 8:30 tomorrow in West Sacramento at City Hall Galleria, 110 West Capitol Avenue, and it starts at 8:30, and it's a total cost of zero. It is absolutely free. And on Thursday, yesterday, I received an email from a lady called Ann Marshall, and Ann's with a business called Business Matchmaking, and her role is to help businesses connect with government agencies that are buying supplies things. And one of the things that Anne's come across is a lot of small businesses are being hacked, or they're being the victims of cybercrime. So on Thursday, June 6th, from 10 o'clock to noon, they're doing a presentation on cyber attacks and how to protect yourself from being attacked. So it's also in West Sacramento. It's at the California Department of General Services Auditorium. It's in West Sac. If you want more information, go to www.smaglobal.com, or you're welcome to give Anne a call. Her number's 408-927-9869, And again, business matchmaking in conjunction with some of the state government agencies. They're looking at being proactive in informing people about cybercrime. They've got some presentations there from the FBI, from a company called Symantec, who make the Norton antivirus programs, etc. And they've also got Jim Bryant there, from who's a deputy district director of the SBA. So they're obviously talking about money as well. So so two good events, both tomorrow for Constant Contact in West Sacramento, and then on Thursday, business matchmaking about cyber crimes and things. So check those two things out, and hopefully that'll make you a bit better. My first guest this morning is Anne Werder-Mamone, and Valerie Werder-Mamone. I've got to get that right. My wife's name, Anne, so I must have spaced out. But Valerie's the guest this morning, my first guest, and she's with the Downtown Sacramento Partnership. Anne, are you there? Valerie, are you there?
I'm here, Roger. Thank you.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you called me Roger, because that makes up for me calling you Anne, because my name's Andrew. So we're
Andrew Roger. That's my middle name. Flash, you were pretty good.
Well, there we go. Okay. Well, thank you for coming on the show this morning, Valerie. I'm intrigued with what you guys are doing, because you're doing what I would love to see. You're encouraging people to get into entrepreneurship, and you're doing that through a unique way of doing things. So. That was my reason for inviting Valerie on board this morning, just to talk about what they're doing and where things are at. So just give us a high-level overview, Valerie, of what you're putting together. The Downtown Sacramento Partnership are putting together. It's a competition. What's it all about?
Well, it's a competition for a business recruitment, I guess, and it's called Calling All Dreamers. And it was created to encourage and promote small business ventures in downtown. And we know right now that one in four jobs is supported by retail in California. And downtown, we need more retail, soft good retail in our district. And so we put together this great competition to try and draw out the talented entrepreneurs that we believe are in our community that maybe have not had an opportunity or a platform like this to showcase themselves before, and to receive a really great prize package of $135,000. Of in-kind support, up to 1 year free rent, as well as a $10,000 matching prize package.
So that's that's a pretty impressive prize, Valerie. That's fantastic. That $135,000, that's just incredible. Just help a lot of small business people get started. What's your role there? How do you describe your role?
My role with the Downtown Partnership, back a minute to explain a little bit about the Downtown Sacramento Partnership. We're a property business improvement district, and we've been around for about 15 years. We manage, I guess, if you will, the downtown area, so from 16th Street to Old Sacramento, from H Street over to N Street. And it started as an organization that really wanted to provide clean and safe environment in downtown, and has really grown from there. We have a wonderful marketing department. We have a policy department. We do the events, concerts in the park, the ice skating rink, the farmers market. And then my position is business recruitment and retention. So I've been in the partnership for about 3 years now, and my job is to help any new business that wants to come downtown, help them to open their doors, to navigate through the business process, and then any business that's currently downtown, to keep them retained in our district. And so we do that through seminars and workshops and funding opportunities and so forth.
Okay, that's an pretty impressive level of roles and responsibilities you have. Valerie, I'm going to take a break, because I've got some more questions when you come back from break. So if you can hang in there for me when we get back from break. I'm talking to Valerie Mamone-Werder, and we're talking about the Downtown Partnership in Sacramento, and we'll have some more information when we come back from break.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
Cup of coffee and a cigarette? Nope, not at Starbucks. The coffee chain has extended its no smoking rule to store entrances. Thou shalt not smoke within 25 feet of Starbucks entrance. No e-cigs either. The Starbuckers say they want their customers to be able to slurp in peace. You want an electric car? Well, pretty soon they'll be paying you to go humming off in one. Honda has dropped the price of its Fit EV. You can now lease one for nothing down and $259 a month. The Nissan Leaf is $199. And hey, you don't even have to put gas in them. All you have to do is remember to charge them. It seems like everybody liked Arrested Development until the latest season arrived on Netflix. And only on Netflix. Now everybody says it's a dud. Well, maybe, but Netflix says it's committed to doing more original content. Some would say it's the HBO. Hard to argue with it, frankly. I'm Stacey Cohen. You can learn more at consumeraffairs.com.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of 4 books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live, 10 a.m. Tuesdays, right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and I'm talking with Valerie Mamone-Werder. And Valerie is the business recruitment manager for the Downtown Partnership. And we're talking about a competition they're currently running to and encourage an entrepreneur to get involved in the downtown retail market. Valerie, before we went to break, you mentioned an intriguing statistic I hadn't heard before, and that's 1 in 4 jobs in California is related to retail. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that just shows you the importance of the retail environment in California. And I guess what's intriguing to me is that we keep hearing so much about Amazon and all the online retailers, but retail jobs are a huge responsibility and a huge part of the California economy.
Yes, I completely agree. And I actually read something too just recently that entrepreneurship in the U.S. has reached its highest level in more than a decade. So, I mean, people are really kind of starting to take that chance and that opportunity to be an entrepreneur.
Yep, and that's exactly what that's the only way we're going to solve this unemployment problem is having more entrepreneurs get involved, and as they grow their businesses, they're going to need people to help them, and they'll be the ones to help lower the unemployment. So that's good. Just tell me a little bit more about the Downtown Sacramento Foundation. That's part of your project.
Yes, so the Downtown Sacramento Foundation is the partner or the sister organization to the Downtown Partnership, and this is our first initiative through the foundation, which is the Calling All Dreamers competition. And the foundation is a vehicle to elevate some of our already in place programs, one of them being business recruitment, as well as some of our clean and safe programs in the downtown area.
So you mentioned the Calling All Dreamers program you're putting on, the competition you're putting on right now. Let's just go into a few details in that. So how did people make application to be part of the competition?
The competition was officially launched on April 16th. We received applications through the end of May 24th. We have some great statistics to share. The application itself was downloaded over 1,000 times, and the people stayed on that application average time on that site for almost 5 minutes, kind of viewing all the documents. The page views were downloaded over 9,000 times, and at the end of May 24th, we ended up receiving 49 fantastic business entrepreneurial applications. We have since narrowed it down with our board to 11 semifinalists, and the semifinalists are now hard at work refining their business concept for final submission on June 11th.
It's fantastic. Just delighted to hear 1,000 times download of the competition. That's fantastic. That shows there's an interest and there is some entrepreneurial spirit in Sacramento. So that is just fantastic. What's the next step then? When the competition was closed on the 24th of May, the 11 semifinalists, they're refining their presentations, and what's the process from there? They're making a presentation to somebody?
Well, one of the great components of the competition, and I think this also goes in hand with some of the things you've talked about, is the resources and support that a business needs to go to that next step. And we have been fortunate enough to partner with SCORE, who I'm sure you're very familiar with, and scoring provided each of our semifinalists their own individual counselor. So we met with all the semifinalists yesterday. We went over what the expectations are. They're having to turn in a video. They're having to refine the more of the financials and the marketing and the vision of the business, and they're going to have the assistance of a score counselor, each person, to be able to turn in their best business concept.
Yep, I am familiar with SCORE. I actually do. I'm a resource counselor for SCORE, and I know they do a tremendous amount of voluntary work in the community to promote entrepreneurship. So this is another way of them getting involved and helping entrepreneurs. So that's fantastic. So once the semi-finalists have made their presentation, how quickly do you expect to have results from? What's the process after the 11 semi-finalists have made their presentation?
After the semifinalists turn in their revised business concept,
yep,
we will gather our board again, and we'll go through all of those applications, and then we will narrow it down to 3 to 5 finalists. At that point, we will have each of the finalists meet with Vision Launchers, and Vision Launchers will then provide a formal video. And video each finalist, which then will go online to our website, which is www.dreamerswelcome.org. And that will be for public consumption, for the public to vote on the 3 to 5 finalists. And that will all be done during Small Business Week, June 17th through the 21st.
Okay, I'm quickly writing down those details because that's fantastic. So there is a part of the public can get involved. They can actually see the product of the finalists, and then you're looking for the public to vote on what they think is the most deserved winner. Then is that right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, that's fantastic. And sorry, that was from June 17th till when?
June 17th to the 21st, which is Small Business Week.
Okay. And then once you've had the public give their feedback, how quickly do you make announce the winner?
The winner. So on June 25th, then the semifinalists will have an opportunity to do a pitch to our board, and so they'll each have about 15-20 minutes, sort of like a semi Shark Tank, if you will, and they'll pitch their idea, and they will be available for questions and answers. And then after that time, we will then select the winner. The winner will be selected, and then they will have an opportunity to work through the lease agreements and anything else, and then utilize all the in-kind contributions to get their business up and running and open no later than November 15th.
Yep, so that's what I like about it as well. You're encouraging entrepreneurs to put together a business plan, which is what the initial part of the competition was, and the business plan applications have closed. So if you're listening and you're thinking that you'd like to make application, sorry, too late. The applications are closed on May 24th. But what you're doing is when you announce the winner, you're giving about 3.5-4 months lead time for the entrepreneur to get set up and open their doors in mid-November, so they've got plenty of time to get organized, and they'll have plenty of things to do, but you're giving them a chance to be successful. So I really love that idea of giving them lead time to get things set up, because a lot of business owners get excited about opening up their business, and sometimes they open up too quickly with things not organized, whereas you've got some planning and some thought behind what you're doing. So that's fantastic.
Yes, and I'll also tell you that of the 38 that did not make it to the semifinalists, I've heard from probably almost a dozen of those applicants that actually would like to explore moving their business concept forward. So most of them have told me and thanked us for this opportunity, because it made them go to the next step that they had been putting off or didn't really have time for. And so it ended up being a win-win for them as well. They were able to really sit down, refine their idea, and really get it to a place where they were ready now to get it moving.
And that's a really great point you made, Valerie. That a lot of business owners have an idea or of a concept, or that they have a blinding flash of light, and they think this is a great business idea, which is fantastic, which is what entrepreneurs do. But taking the time to actually force them to work through a process to present a professional presentation to you guys, make up a business plan, that is one of the best things that a business owner can do. So I really applaud the way you guys have put that competition together. And you've also made resources available through SCORE. This is part of what SCORE does. They help look at business plans and help an entrepreneur get ready to be in business. So a lot of thought given behind the logic behind the competition and the outcomes, so that although there's only one winner that's going to win the $135,000 prize, as you've mentioned, you've got 12 people that are saying to you, hey, this has been fantastic. I'm now ready to move forward with my concept.
Right. And we at the Downtown Partnership, if someone's interested in opening downtown, we have the resources to help them go to those next steps. We have some funding opportunities of partners, and we've partnered with, you know, all of the in-kind sponsors that are also going to be available. So we feel like we've really set things up to really be entrepreneurial friendly and let people know we want them to do business downtown.
So if there's entrepreneurs listening, they're thinking, oh, I hadn't thought about doing business downtown again, or for whatever reason, they just haven't thought of that downtown may be a good place for them to expand or to open up a new business. Do you have information you can share with them about making contact with you, or what's the best way if somebody's thinking of getting more information?
Yes, I think the best way would be to contact me at Valerie, V-A-L-E-R-I-E, at downtownsac.org, and email me just some information, and I can set up a face-to-face meeting with them or talk with them over the phone and see what next steps we can go to.
Fantastic. And one thing I picked up from you were talking about the territory you cover. So the retail area that you're involved with, it's quite extensive downtown. It's not just a small area. It's quite a large area of the downtown location.
Yes, and it also includes Old Sacramento, which already I believe, you know, has a very thriving kind of cool store, eclectic store kind of a neighborhood. So there's a lot of complementary cluster shops there that is another great opportunity for somebody who might want to open a business in the downtown Old Sacramento area.
And so the winner of the competition, they can really open up, they can choose from different locations inside the downtown area to open up their business?
Yes.
And again, it's all retail though. The focus is purely retail?
It's retail, but we also have some restaurant space available, and then there's also always, you know, outside of the competition, we're always looking to partner with office or the creative class, anything to continue to attract our strong workforce downtown.
And what do you see happening downtown right now? Do you see businesses expanding down there? Do you see the downtown coming to life?
I do. I think every year it gets better and better. We're becoming more vibrant and diverse in our retail, and we're thriving more as an urban community. And we're getting really cool stores with personality, and they're eclectic, and we have edgy bars and restaurant. And we're really trying to create that style and charm that gives off a certain energy that makes downtown unique and kind of the heart of our city.
And I'm going to put you on the spot here. Can you think of any new concepts that are opening up that you can think of to mention? Something new happening downtown?
Oh, I can't think of anything right now, but I will give you a little teaser on some of our 11 semifinalists. We have anything from a really urban shoe manufacturer to a spice shop to juice bars to men's briefs and accessories to a recording studio that's also a woman's boutique. So very, like I said, eclectic, kind of experience-based, and very fun and diverse.
Exactly. I love that diversity. And the Kings moving downtown, that's going to be a real buzz for the community, a real excitement. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It's already been a buzz starter, and we are thrilled about it. It's been something we've worked towards and wanted to happen for a long time. And, of course, we have our mayor and the city to thank for all of the hard work. But we're really excited about the changes that are going to happen from that.
Cool. Okay. Valerie, I've got to leave it there. If you want to give us that email address again for you, just to wrap things up, if people want to make contact with you, what's your email address again?
Valerie, V-A-L-E-R-I-E, at downtownsac.org.
Okay, great. I just think it's fantastic what you're doing with this competition. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me this morning and explain what's happening. Just a great thing for the downtown area, and I thank you for being a guest on the show.
I thank you for having me, Andrew, and like I said, I'm here to help and support any of the businesses, so please feel free to reach out to me.
Yep, we'll get an update from you a little bit later on, but my guest this morning was Valerie Mamone-Werder, and when we come back from break, I've got a second guest, Adele Richards, back shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055. and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
A rebound in imports points to sustained U.S. demand. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Donna Wilson. The trade deficit widened in April from a more than three-year low. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
The data reflect a rebound in imports of consumer goods and business equipment. The Commerce Department reports the trade deficit in goods and services widened by $8.5 billion in April to $40.3 billion. Imports rose by 2.4%, twice the increase of exports. Exports of autos and parts, however, set a monthly record. In March, the trade deficit narrowed to $37.1 billion. That's lower than the government's initial estimate. At the Bloomberg First Word Desk, I'm Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Radio.
U.S. stocks falling as investors weigh prospects for economic growth with concerns the central bank will slow stimulus measures. The Dow falling 30 points to 15,224. S&P 500 index down 0.2% to 1637. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live 10 a.m. Tuesdays right here on Money 105.5 FM.
For profitable insights on the world of real estate, join host Michael Bull for the Commercial Real Estate Show. Keep ahead of developments and trends in business and commercial real estate throughout America. Host Michael Bull is a writer, trainer, consultant, and commercial real estate broker who's been helping clients for 30 years with more than $3 billion in sales and leases. The Commercial Real Estate Show, Saturday mornings at 9 on Sacramento's New Money 105.5.
Welcome back to Bonnie Plumbing, Heating, and Air. Your resume now says your name is Dexter McClinkle and that you're a professional negotiator.
Call me Dex.
So you're no longer Dirty Dan, the private investigator?
No idea what you're talking about. I'm here on behalf of the Joneses.
Because...
summer is almost here and their heating and air system is costing them a fortune. Let's negotiate.
They could have just called.
My sources tell me Bonnie has a special Lennox deal.
Yeah, a manufacturer's rebate up to $1,200 on a qualifying system from Lennox.
Nice, but can you sweeten the deal?
Well, let's add up to $650 in utility rebates, up to $500 in federal tax credits, and up to a $500 Bonnie rebate.
Carry the one. Whoa, up to $2,850 in rebates and tax credits on a qualifying Lennox heating and air system? Just for the Joneses?
And anyone else who calls Bonnie this week?
What do you say we keep that on the down low?
Sure thing, Dex.
Call 444-0551.
License number 69635.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson. And my second guest this morning is a lady that specializes in PR. And I've always been intrigued by PR because it sounds very obtuse. But never quite sure how you use it. But I guess that's one of the reasons why I invited my guest on, so I could learn a bit more and be a bit smarter. I heard her do a presentation, last year, and she did a great job. So, Del, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, Andrew.
Thank you for coming on as a guest this morning. Great to have you.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate being here.
So PR, it kind of confuses me because I'm, you know, sales and marketing, that makes perfect sense. I understand what sales and marketing is. I understand what networking is. How do you define PR? What does PR mean to you?
Well, you know, Andrew, a lot of people don't understand what PR means or what it does. And, you know, when I tell people, well, I get you into newspapers, magazines, I get you on television, I get you on the radio, things like that, or in blogs or the internet or whatever. And they say, oh, like advertising. And I say, yes, like advertising, except you'll actually be in the story itself. You won't have a paid ad. What you do is you pay me and my firm to make you look like the expert that the media wants to talk to. So it's a very sophisticated form of marketing.
And so,
to answer your question.
Yep, no, that's great. And so it's more than just one thing then. I think the key thing you said, you'll be in the story. So, as a PR person, your role is to promote that person and what they do. So they're in the story, but you use different media to present them and tell their story.
Well, exactly, because different reporters are looking for different things. So if you talk about, the local media, you have different newspapers. Say if you wanted to talk to somebody at the Sacramento Bee, for instance, you might want to talk to a health reporter. But a health reporter from the Business Journal wouldn't want to know about how the health would impact the person or the product or whatever. They would want to know how it would impact a business. So you have to know what your target is, and then you use that appropriately when you approach them.
So that's one of the skills you bring then. You've got this understanding of the different types of media, and each different media has its own audience and its own way it wants to deal with their subject matter. And so
they have things that they're looking for, and so I know what that is. And having been a journalist myself, I'm pretty good at doing the research and coming up with the things that they need, or at least getting it from the client. You know, and saying, "Well, look, we'll hit this person here, and we'll approach this person there, and this is how we'll do a whole campaign."
And so you're a perfect segue to get an introduction to the media, because if I just walked up to a reporter and said, "Hi, I'm Andrew Rogerson, I'd like you to write a story about me," they'd say, "Well, join the queue. The queue's 10,000 miles long, and I'll talk to you when I'm ready." So you're able to skip through the queue because you know what they're looking for.
And if you said something, I don't know exactly what you would say, but if you said something like, money is so much more important these days because blah, 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 and blah, and it was something new and different or something that was a trend that they're thinking about, then they would be much more interested. And that's what I do, is work with people to show them how we can take the skills that they have or, for their services or their product or whatever, and kind of package it in a way that the media would appreciate it.
So,
a lot of people, as you say, join the queue. A lot of people want to be in the media,
right,
but they don't know how to get there. And a lot of people are hitting up the media. So what you need to do is, what I do is make it easy for them.
Yep. And that's great. Now I'm getting it. Makes perfect sense. What attracted you to PR? It seems an unusual thing. When I'm telling your parents, when I grow up, I'm going to be in PR. It doesn't kind of flow. But what attracted you to PR?
Well, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a writer, and I had this vision of being, a novelist, living in a garret in Paris and all of that kind of stuff. And, of course, that was a total fantasy. And what I discovered was that if you want to be a writer and you really want to learn how to write, you become a journalist, because it teaches you how to write very crisply and quickly and easy to read. And really, it's the method by which everybody gets their information. So I became a journalist, and then from there, you move into PR when you get, tired of journalism and want a little bit more money.
Yep. No, that's interesting. No, and what's intriguing to me is that it's how I actually invited Dell onto the show. Dell sends out a little message every month or so. I'm not quite sure how often it goes out, but I just happen to be
every month.
And I just happen to be a subscriber to her message that she sends out. And she always writes things so well. One of the things I've learned is I do a blog and I enjoy writing, but I've learned it's not my skill set, but it is what it is. But when I get Dell's messages, I read them and they draw me in. And they're not long. They're probably, I don't know.
Nine sentences.
There you go. Whereas if I'm writing a blog, I'm writing probably 109 sentences. And I know I'm overdoing it, but I haven't got the time to slow down and work out how to do it properly. Whereas when I get Dell's message, it makes perfect sense what she's writing about, and she's got a style and a tone to it, and it just resonates. It's great, fantastic.
And it is that journalism. And I did do a lot of training with Gannett News Service, i.e. USA Today, and they're known for the brevity of the writing. I mean, people were horrified when USA Today first started, but in fact, it's what the world has moved to since then.
So the if the customers that come to you, you're here in Sacramento, but your geographic location doesn't restrict you to the media or the PR campaigns you can put together. You can put together a national campaign or a state campaign or a regional campaign. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I've had clients in New Jersey that I did global campaigns for. I've had clients in Canada, all sorts of. I mean, most of my clients are local, yes, and I know the local media very well. But I also know how to work. I know how to work with journalists, so I can basically work with any journalist anywhere.
So that's part of.
I mean, as long as they speak English.
Well, yeah, I'm hearing you. I mean, these people from Australia with a funny accent. I get it. You got to make allowances for them. I get that. But you've worked with Canadians, so if you can work with Canadians, I think you can probably work with Australians. But
exactly.
if you're putting together a PR. Some PR, it sounds like there's different pieces to the puzzle. So it's not just a matter of writing some nice articles and getting it into the media. There's a strategy behind all that. Does that make sense?
Yes. You look at, well, the first thing I always do is ask the client, what's your target audience? And a lot of times I go from that saying, well, you know, that's nice that you want to hit up all these consumers, but have you thought about hitting up, say, the trade journals at some other level so that you would sell to hundreds of people at once instead of just one at a time, so that's one of the things I work with. And then we think about, okay, what's the story? What's the obvious story? What's the product or the service? What does it do? But then what's your story? How did you get here? Just like you asked me, how did you get to PR? People don't just say, I want to be a PR person,
right.
So then that, that becomes another aspect of it. And certainly if there's something going on in the news that we can hook into, we do that too.
So
and then also we often work with people on their social media campaigns, or we help them revise their collateral, whatever they're using for their advertising and their marketing. It just depends on what people want, what they need.
So if you're putting a campaign together, I hope this question makes sense, but what are the elements of a good campaign? It's not just a matter of writing to your target audience and those sorts of things, which is what you've got to do, but what are the components of a good PR strategy?
Basically, it should, in my mind, it should encompass every different level that you can reach. And yet it needs to have whatever the unifying idea is, so if you're talking about something, I've done a lot of healthcare, I've done a lot of service-related, things for people. So if you've got one idea, then you kind of stick with that and wrap everything around that, even though there are different elements, like you think about the news aspect or the feature aspect or social media aspect or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I was getting at. The PR can be an overarching product or service you're putting together, but you can have different components. For example, the person could be doing some public speaking events, or they could be doing got a website, and they're doing social media campaigns. So all these different components make up a PR campaign. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. In fact, I have just started. I have one client that I'm actually setting up public speaking engagements for, which is new to the firm, because we haven't really done a lot of that before. But the client really wanted it, and it goes hand in hand with getting media as well. So, it's a nice fit to do things like that, to have a kind of broader campaign.
Right. And that's actually where you mentioned public speaking, and we're both good friends of Stephanie Chandler. And Stephanie's a great advocate that if you want to grow your business, get out there and do some public speaking, because getting in front of people and talking makes you learn your subject, and it gives you confidence to stand on your feet and present yourself. So you'd be an advocate for public speaking as well?
Oh, yes. I actually, when I started my business, I did a lot of speaking engagements. I don't do that so much anymore just because I don't have the time,
right,
and I don't really need to. Most of my business comes from referral or just directly off my website. But, yeah, I think it's a great way to begin because, you know, people are interested in working with people they feel they know. And if they've met you at a speaking engagement, they're really, I mean, it makes such an incredible impression, and people are more likely to turn to you when they're ready, you know, to hire someone. Of course, the funny thing about PR, and actually I'm just going to be writing this in my blog this month, is that when people read an article and it talks about something they're interested in, they often, like, file it away in some manner, either, you know, a paper file or an electronic file. I've had clients have a sale a year or two after we got media because somebody had put it in a file for when they were ready for it, and then they got a hold of the client. Or just recently, I had pitched a story in 2010 for one of my clients, and I had a national reporter return the call. I mean, we've been talking over time, but they finally decided to do the story 3 years later.
Fantastic, isn't it? Just the power of PR.
Yeah.
Della, I've got to take a break. Don't go away. I've got some more questions for you, so hang in there for me. Thank you for listening. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and we're back shortly with Del Richards from Del Richards PR.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 105.5 at 866-576-1055. And get your questions answered in real time, right now, on Money 2.0.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, we are there. When the world looks for truth,
militants attack a natural gas facility,
broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. And our web and social sites are among the most visited sites in our daily lives.
Bring you the video. Do not go outdoors here in Ocean City right now.
When important moments happen, both big and small, we're the first informers to history. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live 10 a.m. Tuesdays right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of your show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Del Richards, and Del's with Del Richards Publicity, and we're talking about PR because that's what Del does. She's a PR expert. So before the break, you caught my attention because you've mentioned something that's of interest to me, and that's social media. Del, what's your perception of social media? I know it's almost part of every single campaign going on, but as a business guy that has limited time, as we all do, there seems to be so much time I can spend on social media. What's your take? What's your view of social media?
You know, I think social media is important, but I think people need to realize how to use it and not to get enchanted by it, not to get, like, addicted to it and feeling like you have to do it and it's doing a great job when maybe it's not. So I think people need to set very specific limits on what they do. For instance, I write a blog, but I only write one blog a month. I've been doing it for, I don't know, maybe 5 or 10 years, a long time. But I've kept that up. I only post at a certain time of day. I only post once a day. And I know I hear that that's maybe not enough, but it's what I have the time to do. And it gives me a chance to find things to say or find things that I want to post that I think are valuable to the people who are following me. And, you know, I think it's great. I think one of the problems is that because it seems so easy, people don't realize the content still has to be good, and if you're not getting the results from it, you should really think about cutting back on it or whatever.
So tell me your secret. You said you only post at certain times a day. What if you found out what those certain times are that get the best results?
Well, I have one client that likes things to be posted before the workday. I can do that if I have time, but you know, sometimes I'll just stop in the middle of the morning and post something. You know, I track a number of things. I get a number of emails daily, and when I have a chance to look at those, and they have stories in them, and if I find something that I want to post, then I'll go ahead and post it. It's usually in the morning, but, you know, people read stuff a lot on the weekends, too. So if somebody has time to post on the weekend, that would be the time to do it.
Okay. So now you're I'm asking my most important question. How do you measure social media? That's one of the things I'm finding confusing is you do all this social media, but how do you measure it and know if it's working?
Well, I think you have to, it all has to be back down to sales and checking with people, you know, doing your research when they call in or when you make a sale. Well, actually, when they first call in or they email you or whatever, you ask them how they heard of you. You know, they don't always know, and like they say, it takes about 12 touches before somebody actually acts on something, so they may not remember the first few. But you can kind of get a general idea from that. I mean, we just did a big contest at one of my clients, and it was on Facebook and all of that. But when they did the marketing, one of the things they found out and one of the things we saw was that when we got people on television, when we got them on the radio, when we got them in the newspaper, there were huge bumps in the reach on Facebook. Huge.
Yep.
I mean, you know, going from 150 to 8,000 to 12,000 to 20,000.
Wow.
You know? But then, of course, once the contest was over, it dropped back down again because, you know, the people, there was no reason for the people to be tracking it and following it and things like that. So it's, you have to come up with things that are of interest to your followers. And I think the more interactive, the better. If you have something that you can make interactive, like, Oreo is cookies are famous for, I guess they were having some, maybe 100th anniversary or something, and they had people, how do you use Oreo cookies? And people sent in photos and stories and, you know, I mean, it was a fun thing to do. So whatever you do, if you can come up with something that's, you know, that your audience would appreciate, but also that fits with what you do, because obviously if you're a service, you know, it's a little different than if you're a fun product like an Oreo. You know?
No, that's great. And that's part of what you do. You'd obviously, if you're meeting with a customer and working out if you can do a PR campaign, that's part of your skill set, analyzing what they're doing and making suggestions on how to put together the PR program and managing all that for them.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is we do event publicity. So we just did the publicity for the auction, the Witherell's auction that took place. I think it closed at the end of, I don't know when it was. But anyway, we got a lot of press for that. So events are a fun thing, too.
Yep, excellent. We're getting close to running out of time, but I've got a couple more questions if I can sneak them in quickly, Del. If you can give me some quick thoughts, who's a good customer for you? What's a good customer for you?
You know, a good customer for me is someone who will take my advice and who will listen to the expertise that, you know, the people that I have working with me have, and just let us do our job. That's the best kind of client.
And what's not a good customer? Seeing I'm asking what's a good customer, what's not a good customer?
What's not a good customer?
Yeah.
People who there's two or maybe three. One is people who just talk and talk and talk, because we have to bill, you know, but so if somebody talks and talks and talks and you spend a lot of time doing that or going to meetings, we can't be pitching the media, and that's what we're being paid for, is to get those results, to get those hits in the media. Another person is someone who wants to revise all the press releases and turn them into essays, and then we can't use them.
Right.
You know, so... Yep. Just let us do our job.
Right, that's your skill set. Nothing worse than hiring the expert and then the person that's hired them says, okay, here's how you do things better. It's like, okay, hang on, that's why I'm here in the first place. You hired me for my expertise. So
yeah,
that makes perfect sense.
And, you know, usually people are really good about that. But, you know, sometimes people just want to have a lot of control, and you just have to, you know, you kind of have to train them that their way of doing it isn't going to work because they don't have the skill set, and that's why they hired you.
Yeah.
Seems kind of obvious, but, you know, yeah.
That's great. Del, thank you for being a guest. I find PR intriguing because it's fairly obtuse, but if you slow down and listen and hear what's involved, it's intriguing what you do. I'm sure you'd welcome phone calls from people that have an interest in PR. Have I got that right?
Oh yes, absolutely. Absolutely, we love new clients.
What's the best way to get hold of you? What's the best phone number to use?
It's the 916-455-4790, or you can just go to my website, which is delrichards.com, and that's Del, D-E-L-L, just like the computer.
Yep, that's great. Del, thanks for being a guest this morning. If you need to get hold of Del, it's 916-455-4790, or her website, delrichards.com. Nice and simple. Thanks for being a guest, Del.
Thank you so much, Andrew. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks again. Thank you for listening to the show this morning. My name's Andrew Rogerson. Next week, I've got two guests. Jake Goldman is a WordPress developer, and Bill Ango. Bill's an expert on 1031 exchange plans, and that's 1031 exchange plans if you're looking to buy or sell real estate. So Jake will be my guest, and Bill will also be my guest. Thank you for listening this morning. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. We'll talk to you next week.